A working group will delve into Haynes trash talk, and a mechanical problem on the Columbia Ferry shrinks Southeast service. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. As of Tuesday afternoon, 17 moose had been harvested in the Haynes area hunt. The breakdown is 4 spike fork, 10 3-brow tine, 2 50-plus inch, and 1 sublegal. The hunt opened last Thursday. Alaska Fish and Game's harvest limit for the Chilkat Valley is between 20 and 25 moose. The Alaska Marine Highway System's largest ferry needs work on one of its propellers. The 500-passenger Columbia will soon head to a Portland, Oregon shipyard for repairs. As a result, most of Southeast Alaska's larger cities will lose one or two port calls a week. Sitka will go 2 full weeks without ferry service. Marine Highway spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says crews noticed a vibration last week when the ferry ran at full speed. Divers then inspected the ship's 2 propellers during a stop in Wrangell and discovered why the ship shook.
They noticed that on one of the blades of the starboard propeller had a noticeable bend to it where it looked like it had been hit by something. Assumption is maybe a submerged log or something along those lines that could do some damage to a large propeller like that.
The Columbia is sailing a delayed schedule through September 25th before heading to Portland for repairs. Woodrow says the Columbia continues using both its propellers, but the damage to one means its maximum speed is 13 knots, 2 slower than its regular rate of travel.
If you were running, say, shorter distances, maybe a Haynes to Skagway and back every day, you wouldn't really notice that difference. But when you're doing 18-hour longer hauls, say, Juneau to Ketchikan and Ketchikan to Bellingham, that 2-knot difference really adds up.
Communities affected are Haynes, Skagway, Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg, Wrangell, Ketchikan, and Bellingham, Washington. Woodrow says budget cuts mean no other ferries are available to fill in. In many communities, municipalities take care of trash collection. But in Haynes, each citizen has to deal with disposal of their own refuse. For some, that motivates good behavior like recycling and composting. For others, it leads to bad behavior like dumping trash in the woods or water. Whether the municipality should step in is a question that's come up periodically over the years. Now the borough plans to form a working group to delve into the issue again. Here's how it works now. To properly get rid of solid waste, many Haynes residents load trash into their cars and drive it about a mile out of town to the privately owned Community Waste Solutions.
Great. So then we'll get your weight here and then have to drive up to the metal pile and then come back around and get your weight again.
Sure. Yep. No problem.
So the way it works is we have the customers come in through the front scale. They'll come up and they'll speak with Josie at the window, and Josie will take their weight. Weigh them in. If it's household garbage, it's dropped off here in the dumpster containers.
Sally Garten is the general manager of CWS. Until recently, there was one other privately owned trash disposal business, but Acme Transfer recently sold their permit to CWS. Now this is the only trash game in town, although there is another recycling option run by a nonprofit. The consolidation of trash business might open an opportunity for the Haynes Borough.
I'm not used to living in a town that doesn't have a solid waste plant.
Margaret Friedenauer is a borough assembly member.
Like, I've never lived somewhere where it's not a utility and I don't pay for solid waste in my taxes or as a fee. And I'm surprised. Like, is it a problem? I think that's what I'm trying to figure out.
The Assembly's Commerce Committee resurrected the trash question recently, following the consolidation of waste permits. Garten from CWS responded to Friedenauer's question, saying there is definitely a problem.
Of recent, we were contacted with property that had been storing garbage for generations. We're talking 120,000 pounds.
Wow.
There have also been reports of people dumping their trash along rivers or in the woods. If the borough were to contract with CWS to provide something like roadside trash pickup, it might stop some of that bad behavior. The waste service could be paid for by fees or taxes. But not everyone is on board with that idea. Some people who minimize their waste by composting, recycling, or burning are resistant to the possibility of paying a fee or tax that may be significantly more than they currently shell out for trash disposal. Assemblymember Tresham Gregg said he would be reluctant to levy a flat fee.
If you're knocking on everybody $40 a month and they don't want that, it creates resentment. It creates more of the illegal dumping than it might solve.
But Friednauer argued that people are charged the same amount for other services.
I think it creates a better sense of public safety and health and welfare if we're able to provide a service to everyone regardless of whether they can afford it or not, and regardless if they throw away one bag or 10 bags a month, because it keeps the community healthy.
The committee decided to form a working group to continue the trash talk. Representatives from CWS and the nonprofit Haynes Friends of Recycling plan to participate. The group will explore whether borough-wide solid waste service is feasible at this time, or if the idea should be put on the back burner again. The Alaska Arts Confluence's Fort Seward Sculpture Garden has inspired the imaginations of local artists involved in the endeavor. For Sarah Bishop, it's conjured up thoughts about the past and the people who used to live here generations ago. To represent those people, Bishop created a sculpture made of dozens of cast glass fish resting in a copper wire nest. The installation is called Generations of Dreamers.
We were asked to think about the barracks and the history of it, and I started to think about all the people that were here and how quickly we don't know much about the past generations. And you just go a few generations back, sometimes even within our own families, and yeah, okay, maybe we like know our grandparents pretty well, and maybe even our great-grandparents, and maybe we've, you know, heard some stories about their parents even. But it seems like one farther than that, it gets really sparse. And I just think it's interesting that there were all these people here, and we know a little bit about the history of the fort and its purposes, but I wonder about, you know, the families that these people came from and their dreams and aspirations and hobbies, and how all of that dissipates so quickly with time. And so I created this piece that sort of has two parts, and the cast glass fish are, they symbolize all of the people that have been in the community and have passed through the community. I've chosen to use clear glass, and the aesthetic of the material can evoke, you know, a sense of the ephemeral or the spirit or the soul. And so it's meant to conjure up ideas, feelings of the past. And then the other element of the piece is this metal nest. And it's sort of a metaphor for the community as well. And it's cradling and holding and containing all of the fish inside of it and protecting them from the larger world, but it's also a cage of sorts and is, you know, trapping them in. So the piece is called Generations of Dreamers, and that speaks to generations of people here who, you know, have their lives and their hopes and their dreams and their own histories that we know very little about, but at some point they lived here and they contributed to what this place was. And I would imagine that there's still some trickle down of that effect.
Haynes artist Sarah Bishop speaking about her installation for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. The outdoor art project involves more than a dozen local artists. To see pictures and more artist profiles, visit khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.